Hey, I was listening to Mike's talk last week. I was listening to Mike's talk yesterday and today from last week, I should say, and of Daniel 5, the demise of Belshazzar and the judgment that God brought upon him, and how bold and strong and courageous Daniel was, and he don't seem to be taking a step back. As we continue on today in Daniel 6, it's probably one of the most famous stories in the whole of the Bible. I'm sure you've heard of Daniel in the Lion's Den. It's a children's, they do a children's version. I don't quite know how they toned that down, because I wasn't a kid that was in Sunday school, because I didn't come from that background. But God graciously saved me about 30 odd years ago, turned my life around, and I'm forever grateful, and I'm really pleased and privileged to be here today as well. I'd like to say that. So I'm going to start off Daniel, the first few verses in Daniel 6. We're going to just scoot through them and just give you a quick summary that it's all about. It's a setup, really. You know, Daniel's like shining out. He's a man of God. He's got the favor of God upon him. And, you know, his peers like ain't all that happy about it, because it's threatening their power and what they want to do. So they all get together as King Darius is now in charge. Like we said, Belshazzar's gone, the Medes and Persians are in, the new government, but Daniel's still got favour. And so he's just pondering whether he's going to put Daniel as number one over all this lot, you know, all these administrators and power people. And while he's pondering this, they gather together with a plot to try and bring Daniel down. And what they do, it says that Daniel had distinguished himself, thanks Susan, lovely, because an excellent spirit was in him. Aren't we privileged to have an excellent spirit in us, those who believe on the Lord Jesus? And he was faithful, and they couldn't find any charge or fault in him. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's out there, isn't he? But they coerced the king to sign an unbreakable decree forbidding anyone to petition any god or man for 30 days. It was just a temporary thing that they wanted, knowing that the favour and the good works that Daniel was expressing was due to his reliability on his God. Okay, we'll pick it up at verse 10. If you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, Daniel 6, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. So now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this decree that we spoke about, and he went in his upper room with windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks to his God, as was his custom since early days. I think Mike mentioned last week that Daniel was about 15 when he was exiled to Babylon, as it was, as it still is, by Nebuchadnezzar and his crowd. But now he's grown up and he's in his twilight years. He's in his 80s now, and he's still strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home, and with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he was declaring. And you know what? If you're innocent, there's nothing wrong with displaying God's will before all. That's the thing, that this country now is closing in on certain things, free speech and various things. I don't want to get into a political thing, but it's there's definitely a closing in of things. But I want to encourage us to be bold, like he was. You know, prepare. The first thing Daniel does, he goes and prepares For boldly, by opening his windows, facing towards Jerusalem, he's just been told, if anyone prays to a god or a man in 30 days, you've got a punishment coming that basically is a death sentence. You're getting thrown in the lion's den. These lions, they're not messing about. They're hungry. They know how to tear people to pieces. It was their job. And so he prepared himself to pray boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Well, there he was, right there at the throne of grace, boldly. So really the first thing he does, I know he's prepared and he's opened the windows, but the first real thing he does, he engages in prayer. And he prayed and gave thanks. Just thinking, like, for ourselves, when some calamity or difficulty strikes us in our families, in our lives, in our work lives, whatever it is, physically, mentally, or whatever, it's very tempting to go to Google and have a look at what everyone else is thinking. Honestly, it's very tempting to share our difficulties or our stress or whatever it is with the situation with our trusted close friends, brothers and sisters, and our family. It's, you know, it's a normal thing for everyone to do, but what does Daniel do? First thing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will get sorted. And it's like Daniel put the priority with such a grave situation. It was by him doing it that put him in the position that he was going to get the death sentence. But yet he still put it as a priority because he understood that that this was only one domino of many that would have fallen. And so I don't know whether he's thinking, oh, matey, maybe this is the way I'm going out through the lions, but he was up for it. It's funny, yesterday we was going over to, we're moving actually, I know it's all a bit chaotic in our house at the moment, and we're moving, and I was taking my mother-in-law and my daughter over to this place where we are at Hurley, and they give me the keys, literally 5 minutes before we were shooting off. But I still had a few things to pack in the back of the van and one thing and another. Put the missus in, the dogs in, everything. Everyone's in, right? I couldn't find the keys. You know, it does you, doesn't it? And I thought, first thing, I'm going to the Lord. I'm not looking for the keys. I couldn't see them, obviously. I'm going to the Lord. And I prayed to the Lord. And I prayed to the Lord, and I prayed to the Lord, and I prayed to the Lord. The keys. Right, let's have a look for the keys. The keys wouldn't turn up. So I'm stuck now, aren't I? I've took the dogs over just for a short walk out, see if they want to do a wee. So I'm tracing my steps. I'm thinking, I've got a pair of shorts on with an hole in my pocket, right? And I know I ain't going to put them in that pocket because I ain't that stupid. I don't think. I could be, but I didn't think I was. So I thought, I couldn't see them. Everyone had to get out of the van. They were all looking back in the house for the keys and this thing and another. And I've got a new van. I'll tell you about that in a sec. But the seat, where the seatbelt holder is, it's quite a big hole. And I thought, hello, that's a big hole. I've lifted it up, and right enough, there they were. The keys are in the van, right? They're in. They've gone down this hole. But the stress levels just goes up. It's not. It's all right if you're on your own. But if you're trying to take care of people, you know, they didn't like hanging about and they didn't want to be in it's baking hot and all that. Anyway, go to God first is what I'm encouraging us. Has anyone got a testimony of a recently answered prayer? Something that you was like, I mean, that's a very quick thing, what happened yesterday. But has anyone got a testimony of recent answer of prayers? And the reason I ask that is because it's half encouraging to other people when you pass it on. If you don't want to say now, you can if you want. I mean, you know, if somebody's got one. If they haven't, don't worry. I'll give it a minute. Okay, let me give you one then. At Christmas, we're working very, very hard. Me and my missus, we've got a little business. I asked my daughter, I've got to get a van. I've got to get a new van. So I says to my daughter, I ain't got time to get a van. Get us a van, will you? So Gloria's at the back. She starts, what do you want? So I said, a Ford, really, ideally, Ford Transit would do me. Anyway, she rings this girl up, Ethel. She's got this thing going with Ethel. They're going back and forward about motors, you know. So I said, well, when you get one, let us know. So he said, well, you've got to take your old van down. They want to value it and see what blah, 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 right? So cut a long story short, I never heard from Ethel. I went down there and I saw a van and it was automatic. I didn't really want it, but I said to her, ask your boss, give us the best price. We'll go from there. She never come back to me. I thought, that's a bit odd for a sales girl, isn't it? She didn't come back to me. So I thought, that's all right. I found a Mercedes. I thought, I'll get this van. This looks good. I put a deposit down on it. I thought, great, here we go. Rung up my insurance. They said, we don't touch Mercedes. And I thought, I wonder why. I thought they were sort of a bit more bulletproof than the Ford and all that. They don't touch them. I think they get nicked all the time or something. Anyway, so I've got an 028 number. I didn't keep, you know, if you've got a number in your phone. I didn't have that many. I've got one there, and I thought, I'll ring the insurance one last time, see if they can get me a different, change it over and sort it out, because I don't like messing about it, new this, that, and the other all the time. So I'll ring them up. I ain't rung the insurance. I've just rung this 028. I've only rung Ethel. This sales girl never come back to me. So I said, Ethel. It's Ethel. I said, sorry, mate, I thought I was ringing my insurance. I've bought myself another van. She goes, oh, I've got a really good van for you. And I thought, have you? Right now? I said, I've got my coat on. I'm literally going to pick the van up. But I said, it's very odd, though, isn't it, that I've rung you? And there was a bit of a check in my spirit. I said, well, what's this van like then? She goes, blah, 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 blah. It ticks all the boxes, da, da, da. I said, you know what? I don't know why, but I'm going to come. So I phoned the other people. I said, sorry about this, but I think I've got another van. Can I cancel the deposit? Oh, they said, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry. They sent the money back. I'll go down to see Ethel. So I bought the van. And then I go to pick it up a week later, do the paperwork. She's sitting there with a load of people round her, and there's like salespeople, no one in there, only her. And as we're chatting, I'm always looking to share my faith, if I can, looking for a hook. You know, there's always one, there's always a hook, if you look. And then suddenly it's there, and I share my faith. Turns out she's a Christian. Right, but she's like, don't want to share it at work. She's a little bit afraid of like sharing her faith at work. All right, so I encouraged her and I said, I could get you on a course, you know, because Steve does a course. Everyone knows Steve here, and so we got her on a painting course, you know, I can't remember the name of the course now. It's the sketchboard, yeah. So she winds up going on this course anyway. But before we end, I just said, how's the job? She's new to the area. She's quite a young girl. She's new to the area. I said, how's the job? She goes, well, it's really quiet. So I said, well, let me pray for you then. All right? So in the thing, I've just prayed like normal now, like I'm speaking. Everyone's listening, all the people. And I said, Lord, I pray that you will bring Ethel customers who want to buy vans and motors. No messers, people who want to buy vans and motors. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. It's got 10 words in it, that prayer, isn't it? It's nothing. It's a small, simple prayer. Next day, she phones me up. She goes, what's in the prayer? I said, it's faith. She said, I've had three deals come through. I've never had three deals come through. It turns out, right, that Ethel goes from a new one who don't know nothing. She's the top sales girl now. Every time she phones me and she texts me, said, Kev, I say to her, how's your sales going? She goes, it's dropped off a bit. I said, well, let's pray. And we pray, and up they go again. Right? God is in this girl's life. Yesterday, this girl who was afraid to even say she was a Christian in her workplace, she was out on the streets with me on an outreach yesterday, handing out tracts and sharing the gospel. Right? This is not me. I'm no one. This is who God is. And he answers prayers of faith. And that's what Daniel's doing here. He's offering a prayer of faith. And he's answering this prayer, the Lord. The Lord is so good, isn't he? And the reason I want to tell you that is because there's a book I want to... Because Mike was saying about recommending a book that's about this series, or about the book of Daniel, which he's... I think you believe you've got a copy of that now on a fax or something. I want to recommend a book by a geezer called Ken Stallard. I don't know if you've ever heard of this bloke. Anyone heard of Ken Stallard? If you have, you have. If you ain't, you ain't. The book's called The Path of Life, and it's basically his autobiography. And the reason I want to recommend it is because the reason I could pray for Ethel, that prayer, is that I visited Ken Stallard in his home a couple of times, and one of the times I visited him, he said, I got this sales job. I've got no training, so I don't know what I'm doing. I've gone around there and I said, Ken, can you pray for me? He said, yeah. So he just prayed the same prayer what I prayed for Ethel virtually. He said, I pray that the customers would ring Kevin up and that he would make them into customers, right? Now, that's never going to happen, is it? Right? But I'd been round these shops and give a card and that. Next thing, the phone starts ringing and the customers start coming. You see, God, he's into simple faith. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm not going to teach you how to pray because you already know how to pray. I just want to encourage you to sort of, again, let's go back to that simple childlike faith and pray for things so that we can share these stories and it encourages the body of Christ because God is the living God. The God of the living is the living God. So it was great that. Let me get back to Daniel. So the first thing he did was pray. And the second thing it says he did was gave thanks. And Mike was giving thanks during the communion, and also he was reading from the Word of God that talks about giving thanks. Now, giving thanks is a wonderful thing. It also gives you a view on life that is not what you ain't got, what you have got. You know, so there's a blessing in just giving thanks. But it firstly really does, it acknowledges who's in charge. Because you're thanking. I know that anyone heard of Maria Kondo? She's a tidy up girl from Japan, right? But what she does is when she wants to throw something away, she's finished with it, she'll give thanks. She'll go, thank, like, I'll throw this away, right? I want to get a new one. Thank you, T-shirt, for all the times you've been on me. And then she'll throw it away. That's ludicrous to me, right? Because it's an inanimate object. But it's not ludicrous to give thanks to the creator of the universe who gives us freely with his open, generous hands everything. So we're giving thanks to him. What else does it do apart from acknowledge that he's the sovereign Lord? It builds faith. Because, like Ken's prayer for me, that I could give thanks to the Lord for and receiving the answers of it, so I could pray for Ethel and do likewise. Guess what Ethel's going to be doing? She's going to be giving thanks to the Lord. And I told her, when you get a sale, you give thanks to the Lord. Right? You give thanks to the Lord. And so she is. And she's getting more sales. So it's a thing, it builds faith in us. And there's that good old phrase, count your blessings. You know, and it's a way of reiterating, if God's done it once, he can do it again, can't he? He's already done it. There's nothing the Lord ain't doing. And there's nothing he can't do. Also, thanksgiving gives entrance, as we were this morning, praising the name of the Lord our God. It gives entrance to praise. In Psalm 100 it says, doesn't it? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Also, thanksgiving keeps you in the will of God. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all every circumstance. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, thanksgiving's a wonderful thing. So, in verse 11, let me pick up the narrative. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication. So, we've got prayer, thanksgiving, and now we've got supplication. So how could they work that out? Well, supplication is kind of unashamedly pouring out your heart to the Lord. You know, and when you're in that crisis situation or difficulty that you've got, God's very attentive to the cry of your heart. You know, the root word in English for supplication would be supply. So when we're asking God, we're asking him to supply us with a remedy. We're asking him to supply us with an answer that will help us. But also, another root that goes with supply is supple. Okay? So God's not necessarily in this thing with Daniel, like some faiths just pray prayers, like, you know, almost like wooden, you know, wooden prayers. But this one is like God's got Daniel's heart and it's soft, it's fleshy and it's supple and he is bending to the Lord. It says he got down on his knees and poured out his heart to God. So the supplication that God wants us to, if we have situations that we really need breakthrough in, I know we've known God for a long time, but no longer than Daniel. He was 15 when he went there, and he's 84, he's 80 odd, about 84 at this time. And he is still open to bending to God in every sense. I looked up the Hebrew word for this. I couldn't pronounce it for you because I'm not a scholar. But the two middle letters basically mean, one of them means sun, and one of them means fence. Right now, I used to know a fence, but that's in my past. Right, but now a fence is somebody who buys stuff that you shouldn't sell. Anyway, but now what it's talking about, and more talking about a garden fence in this case, right? So on the one hand, it means sun, and on the other hand, it means fence. And putting that together, I'm not trying to twist scripture or anything like that, but I think you can actually draw from this, the truth of this. The sun, in the sun that we're dealing with, we're in Christ, aren't we? We're in the sun. So we've got the sun on the one end, so we're in Christ, and it's like we're fenced in with Christ in this situation. How bad's that? That sounds a good deal to me. We're fenced in, and there's another word, graciousness or grace, that is poured into the situation. We know that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, don't we? It says that in John 1:17. Right? So but here with the Son, John 14:14 says, if you ask anything. Anything in my name, he'll do it. Anything. So we can even be as confident as Daniel and even more so in some ways. And because of Christ, because of his power, because of his outpouring of grace. But I like the idea that we get our situation that we're struggling with and we fence ourselves in with the Lord Jesus in there with us. So I wanted to give you that picture. A reiteration from Mike's word from last week. I wrote it down. I'm going to say it, that a godly life brings attention to others and a threat in this case, right? And I was told as a new Christian, everyone's watching you. You've become a Christian now, they're all watching you. They want to see if this is genuine or whether it's fake. And hopefully, well, for some, they saw that it was real. Some, they didn't like it. And Matthew 5:14 says, let your light shine. You know, so like Daniel, like his godly life, like he weren't afraid, he was courageous. He opened up them windows and let everyone see, I'm trusting in the living God. Let's be like that. Let's get back to the story. Daniel and the lion's den. Verse 12, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said to the king, that Daniel, who was a captive in Judah, see what they're doing there? They're putting an identity on him. He ain't worth much. He's only captive from Judah, right? Does not show due regard to you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes petition three times a day, like that's a crime, right? Before God, right? Multi-prayer. Remember, when we're in these situations of prayer and we need breakthrough, or whether we're helping someone, you know, it says in Matthew, done it on the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given. But it's the tense, I'm sure you know, or most of you may know, it's ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Multi-prayer, that's what it is. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on to Daniel to deliver him. So he's now working it out. No. This Daniel's a good geezer. Yeah, he's one of my fellas. I'm thinking about putting him in charge of, you know, everyone. And now, because of this law, he's got trapped. And he's angry with himself that he's got deceived. He's been tricked by all these others as well. And now he's in a spot where he can't get out of it. There's no way out of it for him. He wants a way out for Daniel, but he can't find one. But ain't it great that in Proverbs 21, in the first verse, it says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. You see, the king don't even know it, but God's already got his heart. He's already worked in this. Through the prayers that Daniel's put out there, God started to move and he started to influence others around him. And it's interesting that when we pray, God moves and others are involved in our solution. And ain't it great to be part of your solution? I mean, you know, poor old Ethel, she couldn't get no sales, right? She ain't old, she's 23, but she couldn't get no sales. But suddenly, for a simple prayer of faith, God's sort of partly used me as part of the solution, what he always wanted to give her. And that is just, again, it's another privilege, isn't it, that we're involved with. Incredible. Back to the story. 15. Then these men approached the king. No, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So they're right hammering as if he don't know it. You know what I mean? He's broken-hearted about it, the king. So the king gave the command. He must have been hard, that one. And he brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. God is speaking through the king. A prophecy. A truth. That Daniel ain't going to get torn up. he's going to come, somehow he's going to come out of it. 17, then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords. So they were all there together, putting a seal on it, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Everything was set how it should be. Because of this law, he had to do it. It became the right thing when everyone knows it was the wrong thing. There was another fellow, weren't there, whose stone was sealed. And on the third day, it got burst open and he rose from the dead. It's like that, isn't it? This situation. Here he is, Daniel, stuck in this dark place with a sealed stone, like the Lord Jesus, after he had paid for our sins, was laying there, lifeless. But after 3 days, he rose from the dead, which gives us the total hope that we ain't all losers, right? That no matter what happens, if he rose, we rise. He's given us that wonderful thing. Not that we deserve to, but he did deserve to. I was talking to a fellow from a different faith yesterday, and I said, when he rose from the dead, he was justified. Everything was sorted. All our sins are paid for. It's all been made right with God. And the sign of it, he rose from the dead. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Something else for us to consider if we're in this difficult situation. God's got nothing against us fasting to sort of, someone once said fasting makes it go faster. Whether that's true or not, the timing of God's always perfect. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his slept went from him. So he's up all night, the king. The king is like, this has come on him personally. You know, and he is, he's fighting with this. You know, he's, it looks like he's in supplication over this. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. When they said that Jesus rose, Peter and John ran to the tomb, didn't they? Well, the king's running to the tomb. Says he's going hastily. I guess that's what it would be. Maybe he went on a cart. I don't know. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. You know, he ain't sure. He ain't sure. He's very hopeful. He ain't sure. But truly concerned. To Daniel, the king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God. That's his identity right there. Not a captive, that Daniel, the captive from Judah. No, there's his ID. Servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Well, we're laughing because we know God is able to do more than we could ever think or imagine. It says in Ephesians, doesn't it? 3. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. And that shows the reverence and the respect he had for the king. So all that stuff about him weren't right, you know, about he's got no regard for you. No, he had super regard for the king, you know, but his respect and fear of God trumped it. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I have been found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad. And a breakthrough, like an answer to, when I heard about Ethel's sales, and she's the sales girl of the month, you know what I mean? She's surrounded by people who have been doing it for donkeys, you know what I mean? And she's there because God's elevated her, bless him, the Lord. And so it's a great thing. It's a rejoicing, isn't it? And it leads to the circle of thanksgiving, which leads us back into praise. And it's all the good circle, you know, it's the good circle to be involved with. He was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Look at what God does. He takes care of the judgment. Daniel, you know his name means, right? God is my judge. That's what the name Daniel means. It's like the king ain't his judge. All that crowd who was the instigators, they ain't his judge. He's got a judge. It's the Lord. And that's what his name means. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. They were ready to go from minute one when Daniel was put in there. They were ready, because that's their job, but they weren't able to because the prayers of Daniel, the crying heart of the king who's got sucked into it all through the Lord's doing, his heart's in the hand of the Lord, and all the things are working together for good, as we know in Romans 8, 28. But here in Romans 12, it says this, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." You see, God don't want us to take these things into our own hands. If we've got situations that, like, you know, are pressurized and you've been accused and you're in the, you know, through your peers or whatever, and it is unjust and you know it is, our job is to pray for those who persecute us. Pray for those who spitefully use us, and we let the Lord do what he's got to do. That's our part. So look what God does. Daniel feared God, not man, and also not even the lions. He might have feared them, but he still feared God in this from the start, without disrespecting the king. It's illegal for him to do what he did, to pray. Do you know it's illegal to pray in this country in certain places now? You might not know that. It's illegal to pray, even silently. If you're within a certain cauldron around an abortion clinic, you cannot pray, or else you get nicked. You can pray, but you're going to get nicked. 100%. They got police. There was a woman got arrested for it a little while ago. Ridiculous. She's standing there doing nothing, and she's praying in her head, and the police are saying, "Are you praying?" But because you're a Christian, you don't want to lie, do you? So you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them the truth, and they nicked her. She ain't said a word. So that could just be a sign, like a starter, hors d'oeuvre, for what could come in this country. But let's pray that it don't, and let's pray. But like Daniel, our sweet Lord Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 10, 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." So our priority, no matter what's going on, is God first, and the fear of the Lord is better. It's actually a blessing. But Darius writes this letter now. He's got this new thing. He's got rid of the instigators. I'm guessing Daniel's in prime spot now. And now he writes this letter to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That's quite a letter, isn't it, to start off. "Peace be multiplied to you." You could think the Apostle Paul's writing this with that sort of a greeting to start with. But anyway, he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Such is his name now. He's raised up that he's been again, you know. You might be nothing for a season, and then in God's time, he elevates you. He raises you up, doesn't he? For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. This kingdom's not going to be destroyed. It lasts forever. And his dominion shall endure to the end. For he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So just in conclusion, in trial or calamity, difficulty, doesn't have to be that. You know, we can pray in the good times as well as the bad, obviously. But what do? We can prepare ourselves to boldly approach the throne of grace and be courageous in the fear of the Lord. We can go first to the Lord in prayer, seek first the kingdom, God's purpose, ask and keep on asking. We can give thanks and build your faith up in all circumstances. Supplication, humbly get fenced in with Jesus and his grace. We can watch others as God draws them into our solution, into the situation. And finally, we can see the result, what God brings, and we can praise him and testify of his goodness. Shall we pray? Father, would you bless this word that's gone out, Lord. Let it hit the targets in each of us that you want it to hit. Lord, we surrender our lives to you, Lord. We pray for grace. We pray for grace for the situations and the struggles that we might be going through now. We pray for the courage and strength. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to make your name great, Lord, by answering the prayers of our situations, of all who are before you today, Lord. Father, we thank you for your most wonderful spirit that is in us, the Holy Spirit of God. And we pray that you will increase, that we will decrease, that you will be glorified, as we sung earlier in the praise and worship time, Lord, that we may have words, we may have testimony to share with others of how great and how wonderful you are, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.